Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Come and see our house.
It's the spring coupon sale going on this week at Plaza House Furniture. Save on selected items store-wide, like Lazy Boy recliners from just $2.99, sofas from just $3.74, TV stands from just $1.99, and five-piece counter-height dinette sets from just $2.44. Plus, save on top-quality brands like Broyhill and Sealy Bedding this week during the spring coupon sale. But that's not all. Save even more with a gift certificate good as $25 cash at Plaza House just by visiting plazahouse.com and putting in the keyword KO, where it says get your $25 certificate. And you always save at Plaza House with free delivery on any purchase of $3.99 or more and available 0% financing. Don't miss the spring coupon sale going on this week only at Plaza House Furniture, routes 11 and 15 Sealands Grove and route 11 Bloomsburg.
Our house is Plaza House.
Once again, the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, the Daily Item, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation are honoring area high school seniors as outstanding young Americans. These students have excelled in many areas in both the classroom and their communities. Congratulations to Sarah Gurdy from Danville Area Junior Senior High School, Lewisburg High School's Sarah Lipsky, Chelsea Whitmer, a senior at Lyon Mountain High School, and Andrea Camp of Midwest High School. The Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, Daily Item, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation would also like to mention these students who, like the group just named, have been lauded as outstanding young Americans. Anna Payson of Mifflinburg High School, Seals Grove High School's Tara Benner, Shikellamy High School senior Jacob Whitner, and Sun Area Technical Institute's Zachary Hollenbach. Here's a sincere wish for all the best in the future from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, The Daily Item, and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents The Road Report. 10 minutes before the hour each weekday morning on WKOK. We'll talk about construction slow spots, and we'll let you know if the weather is going to affect driving. Before you hit the road, check out The Road Report at WKOK.com. Then, listen to News Radio 1070 WKOK to find out what you'll run into on the way to work. The Road Report is on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Welcome back. We'll take you to the bottom of the hour. We'll get Mark Brennan on the show shortly. From Fight On State, Mark will join us for a good chunk of the hour, right up until 4 o'clock. And then tomorrow we're going to have on with us Jason Dombach. And then our Big Ten preview coming up on Friday. Great to have you with us and on board as we roll on for this interesting Wednesday afternoon. When I mean interesting, I mean, it's been snowing here, and now it's sunny. It's been incredible how things have gone so far here today. And I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565, and then we'll have Mark Brennan on. Probably about 3:20 we'll get Mark on, because he has his daughter, Gracie, that he has to pick up at the bus stop first. There are priorities even in this business. And he will take care of that, and we'll hear from Mark in just a little bit. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. The Phillies will play tonight. That'll be against the Miami Marlins. No Ozzie Guillen tonight. The first of the five-game suspension on board for him. And that will be tonight. Phillies are trying to somehow get back on track. It's Roy Halladay against Josh Johnson coming up tonight, which should be a very, very good pitching matchup. Mark, in fact, we'll talk a little bit about the Phillies, because Mark was at Citizens Bank Park for opening day on Monday. And we'll talk to him a little bit about that. Then, of course, about Penn State football. They had talked about having the media come in today, having some media conferences, and also look at Penn State football practice today. That's been pushed back to Friday. And because it's been pushed back to Friday, we're able to get Mark on today to talk about all this and so much more. And we'll keep everybody up to date on what's going on with the various scores, the scoreboard rolling on throughout the course of the afternoon. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565 as we continue on with the show. And looking forward to hearing from all of you. We'll have some open line time in the next hour, but Mark Brennan will be on with us about 3:20, and Kyle will set that up for us, and we'll get rolling. It's great to have Ron Musselman on the show yesterday, and the insight that Ron gave into his job. We'll do a little bit more with Mark about that, too, about handling Website Magazine, because he's been very successful with it, with Fight On State, and what they have done over the years with Fight On State to be competitive in getting out recruiting news, the sources you have to cultivate to get news out. At the same time, when you have a coaching change like this, you have to change sources. And that happens, where you have to change sources. It's interesting times here. And they will be practicing today. And he has been absolutely steadfast about practicing outside. He said, you'll be facing these conditions all the time. So we'll find out today if it's one of those days where he practices outside. Also, he wants to cut down the quarterback deal down to two by the end of spring practice. Now everybody's wondering, who are the two? Scoreboard today looks like this. I mentioned the Phillies play the Marlins tonight at Citizens Bank at 7, with Roy Halladay against Josh Johnson. And and the Pirates will play tonight as well. They'll play against the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. Games in progress right now. Let's start with the National League. We're in the top of the ninth, where the Cardinals and the Reds are 3-3. The Nationals lead it. By the way, over the Mets 1-0. That's the bottom of the sixth. In the bottom of the third, the Cubs lead Milwaukee 1-0 at Wrigley, bottom of the third. In the American League, Detroit off to a great start, 2-0 top of the ninth inning over Tampa Bay. Toronto beat the Red Sox 3-1. That's a final now. And the White Sox in the final beat Cleveland 10-6. So our number, 1-800-795-9565, and in a few moments we'll talk with Mark Brennan. Of course, Bobby Petrino out as the head coach at Arkansas. It is, in the end, you walk in, you lie to your boss, they put out a press release talking about the lie, that's what leads to your termination. He's out. I mean, there are other ways of leaving your job, such as putting a letter or a note in the locker of each player of your team after 13 games. Oh, that's right, he already did that with the Falcons. Yeah. He already did that. Meanwhile, in Miami, the split among fans in the survey about Ozzie Guillen is pretty close. But those who want him out and those who want him to stay, it's almost 50-50. So that's interesting. After what he's, you know, he gave his, he talked yesterday. He was contrite in how he felt. In the survey, Cubans say they are disappointed in Ozzie. You would expect that. Ozzie Guillen is viewed unfavorably by nearly half of the Cuban Americans surveyed in an ESPN Commission poll. But nearly two-thirds of Miami residents and 56% of Cuban Americans think Guillen should keep his job. Only 27% of Miami area Cuban Americans viewed Guillen favorably, 28% extremely unfavorably. It was a survey of more than 900 adults in the Miami market. Survey conducted Tuesday by ESPN and the Global Strategy Group and included more than 200 Cuban Americans. The overall margin of error is plus or minus 3.2%. The survey found that nearly 3 out of 4 Cuban Americans found Guillen's comments that he loves Castro and respects him for staying in power as long as he has offensive. Half found the comments very offensive. Despite that, 69% of the Cuban sports fans and 62% of the baseball fans say that Guillen should keep his job. One-third of Cuban Americans say that he should be fired, but 56% said he should remain the manager of the Marlins. Wow. That is very interesting. First of the 5-game suspension is tonight in Philadelphia for Ozzie. So that's an interesting survey. That is an interesting poll. Wow. Some forgiving people out there, which I think that's in the end, that's nice. Nice to hear. All right, so right now I'm getting Mark on the line. We'll get him settled in here. Have a nice long talk with him. About Penn State and about what he does. And we're looking forward to doing that. And get him on the show. Get him all settled in here. And then we'll have open line time in the next hour. And when we do have open line time in the next hour, I want to get your thoughts. And then we're building up to the blue-white game, which is going to be next week at Beaver Stadium. It's an exciting time, without question. And I've been interested to watch the practice, the tempo of practice, and so forth. He wants to get this quarterback thing down to 2. That makes total sense, by the way. It makes complete sense. When you're practicing, you really can only get 2 quarterbacks ready. Third can barely get any time in a practice week anyway. So getting it down to 2 makes complete sense. I believe we have Mark on the line. And we bring in Mark Brennan from Fight On State. Mark, it's great to have you with us, and welcome back to the show.
Yeah, great to be here, Steve.
All right. First of all, let's talk about the Phillies. You went to opening day at Citizens Bank Park on Monday. You had a good view of the lack of offense. What did you think, and what did the people around you think?
Yeah, it was pretty tough to watch, obviously. Fortunately, I have some friends who work with the Phillies, were able to get me some tickets. And people are real frustrated down there, as you might imagine. I don't think it's only over the lack of Ryan Howard and Chase Utley, but they're making key mistakes, and you just can't do that. In the past, they had enough they scored enough runs that it covered up a multitude. I shouldn't even say that. Whatever mistakes they made, they could really get by with. But in this game, they just couldn't. I mean, a perfect example was they had a bunt play in the later innings where Hamels wheeled and threw it to first base, and nobody was there. I mean, Galvis just did not cover first base, and it ended up leading to a run for the Marlins. So I know that's kind of a long thing, but people are not very patient down in Philadelphia, and it's been tough so far for the Phillies this year.
It has been. Of course, for Galvis, he is trying very hard, by the way, to master a new spot. Galvis is a guy who had been a shortstop his entire minor league career, so for him to not cover, actually, he has an excuse. He hasn't had to really do it that often or that long.
I know, but having said that, it is Philadelphia, and you're a professional player. This is a guy who, admittedly, I don't want to say he was upset, but a lot of people figured that with Jimmy Rollins being a free agent this year, having the chance to test the waters, that this might have been Galvis' shot to come up and finally be the shortstop. Clearly that didn't happen. I mean, Rollins not re-signed, and Galvis was not going to be the guy. Everybody figured he was ticketed for another at least season in the minors, and then Utley is injured, and he gets an opportunity. And I think one of the real keys is making the most of that opportunity. Now, the kid makes some unbelievable plays. Knocks the ball down, can throw it from his knees, throws it from sitting down. But those little things, and obviously he struggled, did not have a hit until getting an RBI double late in that game. But, they've had a lot of success in Philly, and people aren't very patient. With all that said, their pitching staff is so good, Steve, that I think even if the hitting picks up just a little bit, they should be okay.
You look, Halliday was great in the opener. Lee was very good in the second game. Vance Worley was terrific.
Yeah.
In the third game with a no decision. I don't understand why you pinch hit for him, but I don't do that job. And Hamels was not so great the other day, but he can pitch. They probably have the shortest bridge between the starter and Papelbon than any other team in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, exactly. And even with Hamels, I mean, being down there, it was so windy, it was ridiculous. And I am using that as an excuse for Hamels, because it was crazy. There were bags blowing in front of him. And he's one of these guys who kind of gets into his zone, so I'm not worried about him. He's a proven commodity, and he's going to be just fine. I mean, he's also essentially in a contract year right now, and I think they're going to end up getting something done with him. So, really, their pitching I don't worry about, and I'm with you. I mean, clearly they have a great reliever. Hopefully, they don't need a lot of long relief, because there are more question marks in there. A guy like Kendrick could get it done, but. They just don't have the. You hope that the starters can get them, 7-8 innings every game out. But that said, their pitching staff, again, I'll go back to it. When you have a pitching staff that's that strong, even if they can pick it up a little bit hitting, I think they'll be okay.
Right. I understand that completely. But since you were there for opening day, I thought it'd be nice to get a perspective from somebody that was actually sitting in the park and then heard the masses around him speak.
It was fun, and that's one of the cool things, as you know, when you do the kind of things that we do for a living covering teams, it's fun to actually go there and be a fan. Now, having said that, it was the first game my daughter's with me, so I couldn't really be a Philadelphia fan. I couldn't let my feelings be known, and as some around us were letting their feelings be known, but it was still a great time, and I'll tell you, there's nothing like going with your daughter or son, and I was lucky enough that my father-in-law went with us too to do those family things. Baseball is just so cool for that, whether the team wins or loses, just going. And that's one of the real cool things being here. I live in State College, and I know you do as well. Being able to go up to the State College Spikes games, even though it's not the major league level, just baseball just lends itself to that whole family atmosphere, and I really enjoyed that part of it, because we just don't get that many opportunities to do it down in Philadelphia. It is nice to be able to do it here in State College all the time.
Well, I remember 1988. Now, this is the first time where Grace has been to a baseball game, right? I mean, at least a Major League Baseball game, right?
Yep.
Okay. So it's Grace's first time. Well, 1988, my son's 6 years old, and I get tickets. In fact, Gil Santos, the Patriots play-by-play guy, got me tickets to Fenway Park. So I take him up to Fenway, and Roger Clemens is pitching. So the park is electric. The Red Sox are in the middle of a 24-game home winning streak. Park's electric, the whole thing. They're playing the Twins. All right, turns the game over to Lee Smith, who then gives up a home run to Kirby Puckett to tie the game up. Okay. Then, in extra innings, this guy gets on the guy wire that's holding up the backstop, and he shimmies down the guy wire, and they have to stop the game.
Nice.
So they stop the game while they're trying to get this knucklehead off the screen at Fenway. And I'm sitting there, we're looking up at him because we're really close to home plate. And finally, they try to climb up to get him, and they chase him, and he goes into the Red Sox broadcast booth. And Fenway's a little different then. It's not the tower they have now back there. He goes to the Red Sox broadcast booth where the police are waiting for him and arrest him. Then Joe Morgan, the manager of the Red Sox, decides he's going to pinch hit. I think he pinch hit Denny Doyle for Jim Rice. And Rice didn't like it, and they got into a fight in the dugout.
There you go.
And then in the 10th inning, Todd Benzinger hit a 3-run walk-off home run. The place went nuts. I looked at my son. I said, "Now, Mike," I said, "I want you to understand, baseball is a great experience, but not every game is like this."
Well, you know, the moral of the story, Steve, is that as sports reporters, we're never going to make a lot of money, but we could always get pretty good seats for events when we have to, and our kids can enjoy it.
That's exactly right. But it's also great to get young people involved to find out what they like and what they don't like. So what was your daughter's experience like at the ballpark since it was Gracie's first time being in a major league ballpark with Dad?
She was a little nervous riding the subway down to the ballpark, which we enjoyed doing because I like to give her the whole city experience. But her favorite player, Shane Victorino, so we were close enough that we could see him warming up to hit and stuff in the on-deck circle. And, you know, she obviously loved that. And then the fact that he got a hit and scored the Phillies' first run, she was going nuts. She was hooting and hollering about it. But I think she just liked the whole thing. Going out to Bull's Barbecue and getting a big turkey leg and, you know, eating as much garbage food as you possibly can because that's what ball games are about, although there are healthy options. But just going and hanging out. And like I said, my father-in-law, Steve, was there too, so it was pretty cool to have kind of three generations watching the game and just enjoying it, and even though they lost again, there's something about baseball. You know, she was asking me like, "Hey, can we go to an Eagles game sometime?" And I'm like, "Boy, I don't know if you want to go to an Eagles game. It's a little bit colder, and the fans are a little bit crazier." You know, baseball is a very cool thing to do family wise.
No question about it. And you really have to pick your spot at the link on that one, because if you pick a day, for example, where the Giants are playing well.
Yep.
It may not be exactly what she needs to hear.
Well, and walking just from the subway to the stadium, you could encounter some much more colorful language. Although I did go in, and she, you know, she's 10, so she's old enough that she's heard different things, and she's smart enough to know what to use and what she, you know, words she's not allowed to use. But I warned her, saying, "Hey, you're going to hear some pretty colorful stuff here," and that's. Unfortunately, that's part of it, but, you know, when you're in Philadelphia watching a game, you have to prepare your kid to hear, you know, Lord knows what.
Exactly. We're with Mark Brennan from Fight On State. Mark, we're going to keep you after the news, if that's okay.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Mark Brennan from Fight On State with us as we roll on. Great to have you with us on the show today. Sarah Bartlett and the news at the bottom of the hour coming up here on WKOK.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That would be me. Great to have you with us. Joined by Mark Brennan of Fight On State. Talked about his Phillies experience before the news, but now we're going to change up a bit and get to an area that he and I talk about all the time. That would be Penn State football, a little Penn State basketball as well. Mark, first of all, Bill O'Brien has talked about getting it down to two quarterbacks at the end of the spring. the way a practice works, it's a logical approach, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the beauty of spring practice, is that you can afford to give multiple guy first team reps. And I know you've seen more practices than and more of practice than I have, but you know, from what we've gathered, it's kind of gone in fits and spurts, where, you know, one day PJ Jones may be getting more first team reps, and you know, Heath McGloin may be the guys, and Bolden might not quite be in the mix. And another day, well, maybe it's McGloin, Bolden, and PJ Jones, and they're moving things kind of around. Well, you could afford to do that in the spring, but once you get to the preseason, and then obviously once you get in the season, there's so little practice time, especially in the season, that it's very difficult to prepare three quarterbacks to be ready for a game, especially with all the different, you know, when you're implementing an entire new offense where the quarterback has to make all these reads, and from what we're getting from all the players, it's like every player on offense kind of has to know what everybody else is doing, and the quarterback is the brains of the whole operation. So it just really would be difficult. It's going to be tough to get two guys ready, really. I mean, it's going to be difficult for them to get two guys ready, let alone three. So I think the fact that Bill O'Brien came out today and said, hey, they really want to narrow it down to, and yesterday and today, he was on the Big Ten conference call today, and said that they really want to narrow it down to at least two by the end of spring practice, makes a lot of sense.
And that's just, any college will tell you, it's hard to get a third guy ready. And of course, being in the pros the last few years, you were able to get one guy ready and sort of get the second guy ready.
Well, and you know, the other difficult thing with all of this is, and this is where we're going to really see what kind of coach and what kind of teacher Bill O'Brien is, because it's one thing to do this with Tom Brady, and this is no disrespect to the quarterbacks at Penn State, because they're intelligent guys, and he said that today. He's like, they're smart guys, they pick things up, but it's a whole different ball game when you have these college kids trying to learn a lot of the basic principles and reads and those sorts of things that you had a future Hall of Famer in Tom Brady doing. So, you know, how good are these quarterbacks going to be this year? I think we're going to get a real good indication of what sort of teacher Bill O'Brien is by how well these guys come along in terms of being able to make the right calls, the right reads, and that sort of thing. The funny thing is, when he talked today, Steve, he said there were three main areas of emphasis that they're looking at. And, you know, one of them, obviously, is decision-making. The other is accuracy. And the third, and this to me is the biggest one, is grasping the offense. You know, there's nothing there about arm strength. There's nothing there about running. And there's nothing there about the whole physical aspect of it. It's all about decision-making, accuracy, and guys grasping the offense. And I think that's probably the way it ought to be. You know, some guys may be faster than other guys. You know, Paul Jones may have a stronger arm. McGloin may be more nimble. Whatever, but I think at the end of the day, they have to get the smartest guy in there who makes the best decisions and is the most accurate.
Well, here's the reason for that. There's 2 minutes left in the half or 2 minutes left in the game. That quarterback has to be the one that gets them into the right formation, the right play, the right set, and is the one that has to make the delivery on the play, because they're not going to have a coach sitting next to them. That's why he needs somebody out there that has a total grasp of the offense.
And in the little bit of practice that's been open to the media, and I shouldn't say a little bit, they've opened up a couple sessions and are going to open up, I think, about a half hour on Friday. When you've seen Bill O'Brien working with the quarterbacks, it's all extremely detail-oriented. You know, a quarterback is half a yard too deep on a shotgun snap, and he's yelling at them. The quarterback's hands aren't exactly right for the shotgun snap. He's yelling at them. A quarterback is a little bit short on a comeback pattern. You know, these are all things. He's getting frustrated because you have to be able to do the stuff that the easy stuff to move on to the complicated stuff. And that's, I phrased that probably the wrong way. This was in one of the early practices that he was clearly frustrated with one of the QBs because he wasn't making a basic play. Now, this is, you know, we're obviously seven sessions in, so I'm sure the guys are starting to come around. But all those little things, the quarterback has always been important at Penn State. I don't want to understate the importance of the quarterback, but I think in terms of the new offense that they're trying to run, it's that much more important of a position. The other thing that jumped out to me that he said today, Steve, was that he thinks the running game is ahead of schedule. which would kind of make sense. I mean, you return Silas Red. I know the offensive line has kind of been reworked and rebuilt, but I think it's probably easier for those guys to pick up the running aspect of it. The passing game, he said, is a little bit behind, and that makes sense as well because they're doing some different things blocking-wise up front. The quarterbacks have to learn a lot of things. And the receivers, this is a whole new ball game for the receivers and the tight ends as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how I'm anxious to see when we get to see a whole practice, which is what we'll see in the blue-white game. And maybe a whole practice isn't the right word, but it's a whole scrimmage, practice, last scrimmage, whatever it is. But those are the things, you know, as a observer, I'm going to be looking to see how that passing game's clicking, because we've seen little portions of it so far, but I'm anxious to see how the whole operation is starting to kind of work together.
And it's also interesting you talk about arm strength, for example. One of the knocks on Drew Brees coming out of college, how strong was his arm? Some people wondered the strength of Aaron Rodgers' arm. Some people wondered the strength of Tom Brady's arm. I mean, when they were coming up through the draft ranks. And you look at what Bill O'Brien did schematically with the Patriots, and the people I'm about to talk about, they are talented people. We know Brady's talented. Wes Welker, Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, they're talented people. But the scheme put them in positions to succeed, and I think, you know, you can overuse stats, but something has to come about schematically when Wes Welker's number one in the NFL in yards after the catch, Rob Gronkowski's number four in the NFL in yards after the catch, and Aaron Hernandez is ninth in the NFL in yards after the catch.
Yeah, and Penn State over the last couple of years has not been a big yards after the catch type team. And, you know, one guy that I look at a guy like Matt McGloin, and when you talk about, and this is a backhanded compliment, but he clearly does not have the strongest arm. But there have been times when he's been sensational in games. I mean, you know, against Ohio State a couple of years ago, they scored the first two touchdowns against Ohio State at Ohio State since when? I mean, I know you have it off the top of your head, but it was in forever. But there are other times, and when he struggled, it's because he's made bad decisions. You go to the Florida game and the bowl game, where he just made, you know, one bad throw after another. And I think what O'Brien's trying to get across is, I don't care how strong your arm is. Sure, if you have a cannon, that's great. You know, we'd love that. But it's all about decision making, and that's where I'm telling you, I'm so anxious to see all these quarterbacks. And I know it's a cliche, but he said he's giving everybody a clean slate. And to me, that was important for, you know, a couple people, obviously, you know, a guy like Curtis Drake over on defense. But for me, it's been the most important for the QBs, because these guys were able to come into spring practice, and it sounds as if it's been legitimately a three-man race. And everybody has the opportunity to do, and he's spelling out, even for the media, exactly what he expects from these guys. So it's there. They know what they need to do, and it's a matter of who steps up and is able to do it.
1964.
There you go. Thank you. I knew you'd know off the top of your head.
You're welcome. When you go to a practice, and you've talked, I think you've touched on this a little bit, but you're getting more access now. So when you go, what are the first two or three things you look at right away, because you know you have 30 minutes to look?
The first practice that I went to, I paid close attention to Bill O'Brien, and I put a video up on our site because I wanted to see what he was all about and how hands-on he was and how he interacted with the players and how, you know, was there a sense of humor there, which I think we saw at certain, you know, was he a disciplinarian? Yeah, we saw some of that. And I thought it was really important to really zero in on him in that practice, because this was his first practice as a head coach ever. And I'm thinking, you know, probably 15 years from now, people will be wondering, hey, what was this guy like as a coach? And I could say, listen, I have some video of it. You can go check it out on YouTube. Bill O'Brien's first practice. Here's him yelling at a tight end. Here's him, you know, talking to the quarterbacks. Here's him talking about, as I mentioned earlier, make sure that you're this far back on a shotgun snap. So in that situation, that's one of the things I looked at. The second practice that was open, I didn't really go in with a clear vision on one particular thing I wanted to look at, because I wasn't sure which part of practice we were going to see. When I realized that we were going to see some of the no-huddle stuff, I really took a look at the quarterbacks and the way they were calling things out and how they were getting guys into position and that sort of thing, and defensively, who were doing some of the calls and that sort of thing defensively, because as you know, the second practice we were at, it was last Wednesday, I want to say, and there was a two whatever it was. But one of the key things that they worked on while we were there was some of the no huddle and the pace of it and that sort of thing. So those are some of the things that I looked at. But I try never to go in with a preconceived notion of exactly what I'm going to look at, because we never quite know which 30 minutes we're going to get, start, middle, end, whatever.
You mentioned briefly the defense. We talk so much about offense, but there's no doubt that Ted Roof is in complete charge of the defense and what they want to do, and it appears to be a more aggressive style.
Well, and that's something that he's done, and I think he's, you know, he wants to be, did he say multiply aggressive, or I forget what the key phrase is, and I think that they're going to have the ability to do that. I mean, when I look at that defensive line, yeah, you lose Devin Still, and yeah, you lose Crawford and Lattimore, but I think people are really undervaluing the return of a player like Pete Massaro. And obviously, you know, we know what Sean Stanley's able to do. I think he's a guy who can be aggressive for you. And I have not had the opportunity to see it, but everything I'm hearing, a lot of good things about a guy like Deion Barnes. And, you know, inside you have Jordan Hill and Daquan Jones and James Terry. You're going to have enough bodies inside to get the job done, even with a guy like Evan Hales being out. So up on that front, they're going to be good. And with Motti coming back, and from everything we're hearing, even from Motti himself, he thinks he's going to be fine for the season. So their front seven, they're going to be able to be aggressive with that front seven. The key is really, it's all going to come down to how well that secondary plays. Listen, you lose four starters, but you do have two guys coming back in Morris and Willis who have played an awful lot of football. So I think you're fine with those two guys. I don't think there's any problem with either of those guys stepping in as full-time starters. I think both of them will be fine. I think the issues are finding that second safety, whether it's Obenga Gaiapong or I'm not quite sure, you know, a Jake Fagnano. I'm not sure what they're going to do at that second safety spot. And obviously over at corner, we're hearing great things about Curtis Drake, but he's new to the position. He's obviously athletic. He's obviously a tough kid, and I'll leave it at that. But, you know, what kind of, is a Derek Thomas going to really be able to do much at corner when we hear he's been in and out of practice? Where does Adrian Amos fit? He's a big physical kid who can play some corner, but I think maybe he's a better fit at safety. So the key to me in watching that defense and how aggressive they can be is, are they going to have the corners who can play tight enough and the defensive backs who can play tight enough to allow that front seven to be that aggressive? And, you know, maybe it'll be it's kind of like a chicken and egg thing. Is the front seven going to be good enough to take pressure off the secondary as they kind of come together, or are you going to need some cutting loose with some things? I don't think you're going to see anybody holding back in that spring game.
Because of everything being new staff, new style, and so forth, is this as exciting a time for a reporter to be covering a team?
Yeah, you know, and it's, I've said this so many times, is that nobody wanted to see the Joe Paterno era end the way it did, and certainly nobody wanted to see his life end the way it did. I mean, that was, and I think we have to be very careful that in the enthusiasm we show toward, you know, covering a new coaching staff, that I don't want to come across as being disrespectful to the old staff and to all the serious stuff that's happened around here. But with all that said, you know, we all knew that within this, you know, a 4 or 5 year window here, and nobody was sure exactly when, but I think everybody had a pretty good feeling in the last year or so that there was going to be a new staff and there were going to be changes. And I have to tell you that Bill O'Brien, to me, somebody asked me about this on a national level, you know, just earlier today. You know, how has he done in terms of, you know, kind of balancing the respect for the previous in staff and Joe and, you know, being his own coach? And I think he's done a great job. I think at every turn he's paid proper respect to what Joe created and to the, you know, the concept of true student athletes and success with honor and that sort of thing. But I also think when you go to practice, there's no question that this is Bill O'Brien's team. I mean, none whatsoever. I mean, things are done very different than they were in the past. There's a different pace. You know, things as subtle as, you know, guys don't have to shave all the time anymore. The blue line that used to be out on the field isn't there. none of these things are either good nor bad in my eyes. They're just different. And you're right, it is exciting. But when you speak about that excitement, and I think a lot of the fans are buying into it, I also think we have to be careful not to do it at the expense of a guy who I think is the greatest college football coach ever, regardless of what went down the last year.
Right, and I think everyone knows how I feel about that.
Sure,
I think everybody does. At the same time, it is time. You do move forward. There is a new season, thus it is a new staff, and because of that, there's also a different way of covering it.
Yeah, and they've allowed some more access. The player availability has been fine for me. I know some people would rather not do teleconferences the way they're doing them. I'm okay with that. They're making some players available in a less formal kind of setting on Friday. But is it different? Sure. I mean, you have to work on creating different sources because that's part of things. How's it going to work during the season next year? Are the press conferences going to be on the same days? Is there still going to be the ability for the media to stay at the team hotel? All these little things are things that come into play. But in terms of being a reporter and having covered the team for so many years, it is very interesting to go into practice and see how things are so much different now than they were. And a great example is the strength and conditioning program. Again, I like the guys who were there before, but you can see how these players are really buying into it. And overall, Steve, yeah, it's great that it's different for the media, but one of the things that I've gotten in talking to some of the players on these conference calls, these guys are really enthusiastic, and I think that's the most important part of it. They're buying into it. These guys, and as well as I do how much these players love Joe. I mean, you could see it when everything went down and they had to talk about all this stuff over the last few months, how difficult it was for them and how much respect they had for Joe. But with all that said, now you can hear an enthusiasm in their voices. We talked to Michael Zordich today, and he said it's like being a freshman, and he meant that in a good way. You have to go out and prove yourself all over again. It's exciting. So it is something. There are some exciting things going on here with Penn State football, and I think you're seeing that in recruiting. I mean, they're doing extremely well recruiting to this point with some real high-profile type guys coming in. So it is definitely a fun time to be covering Penn State football, and I'm really anxious to see this. And I think a lot of fans are the same way. I think a lot of fans, media types, and the players too, are anxious to see what goes down in this blue-white game. Because if the weather's nice, boy, you could see 70,000 people, and you could see a different style of blue-white game, I think, with people taking it a lot more seriously on the field.
Mark, always a pleasure. Great to have you with us, and look forward to talking to you again. Some great insight, as always.
Thanks, Steve. Happy to be on, as usual.
All right, Mark Brennan with us from Fight on State. We'll come back with more on WKOK after this.
Get a jump on savings with coupons in your Kohl's Hardware Flyer.
Clip the coupons for buy one, get one free for Easy Care and Weatherall paint. Limit 5 free gallons. Plus, clip the coupon for a propane refill for just $12 or $5 when you buy a new 20-pound tank.
Time for garden cleanup. Get the Bully round or square point shovels and Bully rake, just $29.99 each. Bully tools are made in the USA. And get a jump on weeds with a 13-pound bag of Preen, just $17.99.
Save $25 on a pressure washer, now just $89.99. And save $9 on Fisker pruners. A two-piece set is just $15.97.
Get a jump on color with a Whiskey half-barrel planter ready for spring pansies and colorful solar stake lights. Butterfly, hummingbird, and bumblebee, now just $4.99.
Clip your coupons from the flyer and get a jump on savings at Kohl's Hardware. Hurry, sale ends April 15th.
For more savings, sign up at kohlshardware.com and be a friend and like us on Facebook.
Now, Kohl's Hardware is more than just your neighborhood hardware store. Oh, we're still right around the corner with over 15,000 name brand products. But now, you also have great offers waiting for you online. Sign up at kohlshardware.com.
Have you been driving the same car for the last 15 years and it has over 250,000 miles on, and the air conditioner does not work anymore, and it doesn't have a side, it doesn't have a scrape, dinge, or dent on it? Or maybe it was a car your daughter or son used to college and the engine went out and it's sitting in the back corner of your yard, and every time you mow the grass, you're reminded of it. Well, both these cars qualify for cash for clunkers at Front Street Motors at the Wall in Sunbury. Any of these vehicles qualify for $2,000 off on any car, truck, SUV on the lot. And if you have a second trade, bring that one in too. We'll get you fair market value. If you have damaged credit, this program is going to help you. How can you get qualified for this? We're going to have vouchers in the daily item on Thursday. We have extra vouchers in here. So if you have to push, drag, pull, or we'll tow it, come in at Front Street Motors at the Wall in Sunbury in April.
Hi, this is Steve Jones from The Steve Jones Show, weekdays 3 to 5 on WKOK. Join me Wednesday, May 9th from the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the 21st Annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. There'll be morning and afternoon flights for a four-person scramble. Then stick around and join me for The Steve Jones Show, 3 to 5 that afternoon, live from the course. For more information, call Bonnie Wassmer at 286-5636. I'll see you on the team May 9th with WKOK.
This modern world we have is filled with many things that make our lives easier. Washers, dryers, all kinds of fridges, stoves, other appliances, all new and modernized. If they let you down, though, you can fix them at a fraction of the cost than getting someone from outside to fix them by doing it yourself with help from APW. APW carries all kinds of parts for every brand and manner of appliance. If it's not in stock, Jerry will gladly order it for you. They make your life easier at APW Market Street in Sunbury.
Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock hour. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Thanks to Mark Brennan of Fight On State. Tomorrow, Jason Dombach joins us. JD will be here between 4 and 5 tomorrow. As we roll on, we'll have another update on Urban Meyer as part of his Big Ten media conference today. He talked about some of the allegations. They were thrown out by Sporting News and Matt Hayes in their online edition, which we will get to and tell you about in the next hour. We'll also have open lines next hour. This is day three of a show in crisis. Can we survive without Kevin Herr? Or, since it's the first time we mentioned him today, have you forgotten he was actually a part of the show? Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. Here from the beautiful, spacious Sunbury Motors Studio at the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, our great friends, located on 4th Street in Sunbury, and also at Routes 11 and 15, Sunbury Motors Kia at 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Told you about the scores from today, and the Phillies will play tonight against the Marlins. That'll be at Citizens Bank at 7 tonight. The Pirates are on the coast, second game of their 9-game West Coast swing as they take on the Dodgers at 10-10 tonight. As we will keep everybody up to date on all of that. So it's already several games played today because for some it's getaway day today. The Orioles and Yankees will play tonight at 7:05 at Camden Yards. Washington now with a 2-0 lead over the Mets in the top of the eighth. Cubs lead the Brewers 1-0 bottom of the sixth. Already in the books, Cincinnati beat St. Louis 4-3. In the American League, Tampa Bay Rally beat Detroit 4-2. Toronto beat the Red Sox 3-1. White Sox down Cleveland 10-6. CBS News coming up at the top of the hour. Then it's Sarah Bartlett. And then Open Line, You're the Star, next hour here on WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.